Hello, everybody. Thank you for coming today. I'm Vicky Smith, and I'm on the council, and I represent public libraries. I know most of you are from the public area, and we feel that public libraries face many of the challenges you're facing daily, your clients, and probably some same, some different, but mostly they'd be running fairly parallel. We probably meet most of our clients at the other end of the spectrum to you, because a lot of people come into us with infants, preschoolers, children, people who think their children need to be given some assistance because they can't, so they bring them along to activities. So we tend to almost work from the bottom up, where you're often coming in midstream or a bit higher, I think. We, as you probably are, dealing more and more with ASL people, but we do still have a lot of people with just basic literacy issues, and libraries are not usually the place people come to when they can't read, so we try to entrust people with a whole range of activities to have them come in more recreationally and then try and introduce them to programs. So most libraries across the state are doing something, some more, some less. Certainly in the metropolitan area, I would say every library are doing programs weekly, from basic storytelling through to activities just for parents or whatever. Now, Miley Joseph is a consultant for Public Library Services at the State Library of New South Wales. So she's going to tell you some of the things that we have done across a number of years, really, isn't it, right? Yeah. So it's all yours, Miley.
First of all, I'd like to tell you a little bit about the work I do so you've kind of got some context. There is a small team based at the State Library in New South Wales, and what we do is work with every single public library across New South Wales. So we work with the staff from the library manager level, where they might have certain kinds of issues, right through to the professional staff who are actually delivering programs and dealing with customers across the counter. And we also deal with people who work in one-person libraries, where they do everything from the grant writing and the reports to council to putting books back on the shelves. So there's an amazing array of libraries across the state. And I guess I've actually got a question to start with for you. Do you think in New South Wales there would be more McDonald's outlets or more public libraries? Mm-hmm. Public thinking time.
You're guessing.
Public libraries. Anyone like to guess how many public libraries there would be across the state? Certainly not as many school as there are schools or some of those educational facilities, but ballpark. There's more than 150 councils. Almost every council has a library service.
So would you count, say, Randwick Library exactly as three sites?
Yep.
Is that three libraries or one library?
Three. Well, there's 99 library services, so if you were just to count Randwick as one, there'd be 99. There's 363 plus 22 mobile libraries that are driving around. So in terms of a network that's out there actually at the grassroots level dealing with everybody in every community, it's actually quite a useful group of people to be able to tap into in one way or another. And it's one of the very few places in any community that actively tries to break down any barriers that stop people coming in. So instead of putting a turnstile on the swimming pool, we say it's free, come on in. So it's quite a unique kind of place in any community, and one of the few things that you can find almost everywhere. For example, I work with libraries that go all the way out to Broken Hill. I spoke with the library manager at Cobar, and she said, yep, it's great. There's no bookshop in Cobar. There is a news agency, but there's no bookshop, and it's actually 3 hours' drive to the nearest Woolworths. So, you know, in terms of where you get books in that community, you can see straight away the library's got the whole niche market sewn up. Okay, so I guess one of the things I wondered about, since I hadn't had the opportunity... Okay, since I hadn't had the opportunity to meet you before, I thought we'd better start talking, first of all, about a definition. So when I say public library, you're thinking of the same thing that I'm thinking about. Okay, so The dictionary would have us believe that libraries are about books and about buildings. And I guess how many of you would work in a school environment? Some of you? None of you? Would you think of wherever you work as being about the building? It isn't really. It's about the services. It's about what you actually do in that building. So this definition really doesn't help us very much when we're talking about what libraries are actually doing. This one is a much better fit. I've been working in libraries since 1985. Yes, I did start to go after my HSC. But over that period of time, libraries have really changed a tremendous amount in terms of how they see themselves and where they fit in their local communities. There are still people who think it would be a lovely place if we could just keep all the books neat and tidy and keep people out, because the people do make them messy. But they're few and far between, and their colleagues, you know, kind of put them in, slap them into line occasionally. But this really is a much more accurate definition of libraries, because in many cases, libraries are even moving away from being the people who choose the books that they buy and spending hours and hours cataloguing, to outsourcing that part of the business and concentrating even more on delivering programs and interacting with their customers. And that's a trend that you will see right the way across New South Wales to varying degrees. The types of programs, the types of things that libraries are getting really excited about being able to deliver to their communities range from things like what librarians call LAPSIP, or baby routes, which would be a story time program that's designed for parents of children under 18 months of age. So some of the babies that turn up for these programs can barely hold their own heads up, but what the aim of the program is about teaching, not so much the babies, but teaching the parents, you know, how do you engage this little lump who's come to live at your house with literature, with words, with language? How do you do that stuff? And it's really frightening to realise that there's actually quite a lot of young parents who don't even know the words to nursery rhymes. So where do their children get exposed to the rhythm and the rhyme and the pattern of language and being able to start to get excited about words, which will then lead them to getting excited about reading? Well, fortunately, the parents are very motivated because they know they've got the most wonderful baby in the world, and so we get them young, we get them to come on in, and that's just one type of program. Then you've got preschool story times, which really is picking up from once they can toddle through to just before they go to school, and this is a really huge spectrum in terms of what kids are learning and what they're capable of doing. I mean, that's a massive span. So you get everything from the kids who just want to sit there and listen to the ones who want to get up and tell you what they did on the weekend and why their dog named Spot is actually better than the dog in the story. And then you get into the whole thing. So we've got summer reading clubs where we try to get the whole community, not just the children, not just the parents, but everybody, to pay attention to reading and to language. And so all the way around Australia, with the exception of Queensland, and that's a discussion for another time, over the summer holidays, we were doing a Read on the Wild Side program, where people were using opportunities to get out into the local media to remind